there are so many all Lordson and CDs. How is it to have this latest one where you're actually performing piano?
Well, I actually perform piano on many of them in the past CDs, but this one, of course, is very special. You've got an extraordinary choir, the Chamber Choir of Europe, consisting of 24 singers from 15 different countries, an extraordinary conductor, Nicole Mott, the great label Deutsche Grammophon, and an outstanding Italian orchestra, I Virtuosi Italiani, that came with us to do the Lux Aeterna. It was very, very interesting. We all gathered in a small town in Kufstein, Austria, last year, in a hotel that also had a recital hall. And for a whole week, we recorded 9 hours each day, 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 3 in the evening. And it was quite an extraordinary experience on so many different levels to come up with this light eternal CD that has newly composed as well as well-known works on it by absolutely superb world-class musicians.
How do you choose text when you write music? I imagine that's one of the very first things that comes along.
Yeah. Oh, well, I read poetry every day. And I'm very, very, very careful with the text I choose, most of which deal in some way with the human condition of dealing with love or loss of love, dealing with spirituality, texts that have a multi-level of symbolisms on there. I've got two cycles about winter, and I love the contrast and symbolism there of the contrast of light and dark, of birth and death, of cold and warmth, and so on, by Robert Graves. But look at the poets I have set: Rilke, Neruda, Lorca, Robert Graves, James Agee, Howard Moss, Dana Gioia, on and on. These are world-class poets, and so I am constantly on the prowl for poets whose work speaks to me on a whole number of levels. It's got to be elegantly composed as a poem. It has to have content that appeals not only to me, but I think is universal, that we all can relate to. Isn't it true that we all can relate to, for example, the texts in the Lux Aeterna, the Light Eternal? They are glued together by references to light, illumination of all kinds. And it can be spiritual, artistic, intellectual. We all relate to that. We relate to love, the loss of love. We relate to, for example, the kind of symbolism around love and beauty that is found in the poems about roses I found in Rilke, you see. So I think that people are attracted to the poetic content as well as the music, and that is combined to for a body of work composed over my entire life of music that is mainly centered on the most personal of instruments, the human voice.
I wanted to ask about writing choral works, because that's most of your output has been, there's some fanfares and sonatas and piano works here and there, but mostly with the choirs and occasionally instruments. Is that the preferred expression, or is it just that's come along?
No. Look, I prefer setting words to music. I love that. I read poetry every day. I've started my classes for 50 years at USC with poems. It is something that is just part of me. I love the combination of words and music, and so I've devoted my whole life to that. And I have 8 vocal cycles, multi-movement works on poems by one composer or around one theme. You've got the Midwinter Songs by Robert Graves, the Rose Songs by Rilke, the ones revolving Eternal Light on the Lux Aeterna, the poems by Lorca, and so on. I love it. So if I have a choice, I'll do that. And I was very, very fortunate to attend a university that had a superb choral department and vocal department as well. And they were the people that initially premiered my works all those years ago.
when you compose, obviously, these days you might have students that bring you tablets or, you know, their phone where they might be doing notation. Do you like pencil and paper? Do you go to any sort of computers? Do you like to be at the piano? How do you like to physically compose?
Good question. You know, last year I remember seeing an interview on the tube with John Williams, and he says he thought he was the last composer in the world that used pencil and paper in the piano. And I said to myself, oh, no, there's one more. I don't use computers at all. I'm a tactile person. I like to touch the sound. I work at the piano, and I don't use computers at all. And so I simply work with a pencil and paper and a piece of score music to write this music.
When you're not teaching or traveling, performing, I know that you have spent time in Los Angeles and San Juan Islands, which I imagine are inspirational in different ways. So much hustle and bustle and young people in L.A. and the beauty. I'm friends with Alex Shapiro, who posts constant cool pictures of foxes and the beauty around her home. Are there different inspirations? Do you like to get away to compose, sort of like Mahler in the summer out the nature, or do you compose whenever you can?
Yeah. You know, Alex Shapiro is one of my very, very best friends. And she is the one that introduced me to San Juan Island, and I bought a home there. I am in contact with Alex almost every day. Alex is absolutely huge in the wind symphony world. She's writing a whole series of pieces that are done constantly. Just a fabulous composer and a dear friend. And look, I do my work best in quietness. Quietness has meant a lot to me over the years, and I learned the importance of that, especially when I was a young man. I was 19 years old. I spent a whole summer in the Forest Service. The previous summer I'd fought forest fires, and then I got posted on a lookout on a tower, a remote tower in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest up by Mount St. Helens. I was there for 10 weeks alone. Once a week, the ranger would come up and bring me supplies, but I was there alone. And I made fundamental decisions up on that period of contemplation. And one was to get into music. I had not taken any music at all my very first year at Whitman College. I thought it was always going to be an avocation. I was a decent pianist and a trumpet player and all that, and was involved in jazz and classical and various kinds of music. But I didn't think it was going to be a career. But in the silence up there on that lookout, I came to the realization that I had to listen to my heart and my gut. And I went back to Whitty, took every music class I could, and then transferred down to Los Angeles to the School of Music. I needed to have some sorting out, and I needed to depend upon the faculty there to help me find my pathway. And one of the pathways I started to explore was composition. And I didn't have a portfolio, so I was let in to a beginning composition class as a junior. I'm 20 years old. I was led in by the great composer and head of the composition class, Halsey Stevens, who gave me one semester to see if I could cut it or not. Well, I eventually succeeded him as chair of the composition department. I've been there all my life teaching, now in my 52nd year. But I also, several years ago, many years ago, back in 1975, bought a property on the beach on Waldron Island, an abandoned general store. No electricity, no running water, a shack on the beach. I had to fix it up. Look at the movie, the video about me that's got many awards. Shining Night, a portrait of composer Morten Lauridsen, and you'll see me in my shack writing music up there. The Lux Aeterna, O Magnum Mysterium, and these people, they're very deep pieces, and I have to go down deeply to come up with this music, and I do it on a $50 piano on a remote island by candlelight next to the sea, and I'm able to deeply connect with myself, and I urge people out there to find a place where you can do that. We have too much hammering at us from every direction these days, with cell phones, with computers and everything else, and we lose contact with our deeper feelings. So I urge people, if they can, to find a quiet place. in Los Angeles. I have a very quiet place in the storybook cottage in the Hollywood Hills up by the sign. I need that. I want to get away from things. I don't need distractions. And so I do my best work there and also in the San Juan Islands, to which I will be moving to in the next 6 months because I'm at the end of my time at USC and retiring.
I guess I'd end asking a little bit about teaching because it's not a skill that a great composer necessarily has. And so it's a different skill set than playing piano or composing, but you've done it for quite a while and I imagine you enjoy it.
52 years. I do enjoy it. And I had a long stint as chair of the composition department at the University of Southern California. I founded the Advanced Studies Program in Film Scoring there. It's the best in the world, ask anybody. If you want to score films, you need to go to that master's level program at USC, and many other things. So it's the end of a, look, you can imagine, I come down there as a fledgling 20-year-old. God, my parents were not happy with that decision, you know, at all. I was at Whitman College doing just fine, and then I told my parents that I was had decided to transfer down to the University of Southern California to study to become a musician, and I heard no clicking of heels at that particular point. In fact, my mother's parting words to me as I got into my 1953 Buick in 1963 to drive down to Los Angeles to see if I could make it in music were these: when it doesn't work out, you can always come home and eat crow. Well, I wish you were around today. I told her at that time that I was going to give it a shot. Even if I fail, I'm not going to look back on my life saying I didn't have the guts to try and go down there and do it. And I was not going to look back on my life and saying, why didn't I do this when I had a chance as a young man? But I also told her that no matter what happens, crow ain't on my menu, and I'll find another pathway in life. I've got a lot of interests.
Wow, well, we're so glad you took that leap and appreciate this new release and your composition.
Thank you. I'm very proud of this recording. I think that your listeners will enjoy these settings of poems that I have dealt with over the years, a brilliant new setting of the Lux Aeterna, plus Dana Gioia and Neruda.
It's a joy to talk to you, and again, congratulations.
Thank you so much. A pleasure.